Okay, welcome to Village Church. Yes, my name is Jeremy. I am the interim senior pastor here at Village Church. And this is an exciting day. This is going to be an exciting service because we're going to talk our Village Church church planting vision. And we're going to be telling you about stuff we are dreaming of, but also telling you stories about things that God is already doing all across our country and around the world. It's going to be incredibly exciting. But first, I want to frame all of it in a little story out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, 1 to 11. So you can turn there with me if you'd like. So in Luke 5, 1 to 11, here's the story we read, and this is a great little story. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him, that's Jesus, to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. He asked him to just push the boat a little into the water so that he could preach to the people on the shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But if at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men," or people. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and they followed him. This is a story about following Jesus, but it's a story for us as a church right now. God has work he wants to do, and he's calling us to partner with him in doing it. So I'm going to give you three quick things out of this little story that I want to challenge you with, and I'm challenging myself with, as we read about this incredible miracle that Jesus does with these fishermen. So one, when God asks us to fish, there's no good time, there's no bad time, there's only God's time. There's no good time, there's no bad time, there's only God's time. Imagine telling Jesus, "Jesus, the fish aren't biting." Like, imagine telling him that. Like, I imagine in the story, Jesus later on, when the boats are sinking full of fish, right? He just sort of like smirks and turns to Simon Peter like, "Yeah, the fish aren't biting, right? The fish aren't biting." Like, imagine saying that, because we know two things about God. One, God knows way more than us, right? God knows everything, and he's wise. He has all the information. He knows all the details we don't know about things. And two, he can do whatever he wants. God is sovereign. He is all-powerful. Nothing can stop him from executing his will. So you put those two things together, there's no good time. There's no bad time. There's just God's time. Do we even allow for that reality as a church? Do we allow for the fact that when God wants to save, he'll save, right? When God wants to heal, he'll heal. Do you believe it? If God wants to raise up this church to do something amazing in this country and beyond over the next number of years, he'll do it. He doesn't care what time it is. He doesn't care if we're in the middle of a leadership transition. He doesn't care if the economy is good or horrendous. He doesn't care if inflation is through the roof. He doesn't care if we're living in a country that is frankly hostile to the Christian church. God doesn't care. There's no good time. There's no bad time. There's just God's time. That's point number one. Number two, when God asks us to fish, there's absolutely no limit to what he can do, right? There's no limit to what God can do. In this instance, they could have gone out and caught a normal amount of fish, and that would have blown everyone away. Because, you know, like you said, the fish aren't biting. We tried all night. He could have caught a small amount of fish, and it would have blown everyone away and proved his point. But no, what does Jesus do? He fills two boats past their capacity so that they're literally sinking in the water with the amount of fish he provides. Why? I think he's making a very important point. The point is not every time Jesus is going to do some amazing, crazy miracle that blows everyone out of the water. I don't think that's the point he's making. The point he's making is he can. He can do it anytime he wants. So do we actually have room in our faith to believe that Jesus can do what seems impossible or impractical or unlikely? Do we as a church actually believe that he can do whatever it is he wants whenever he wants? Do you believe that? Number three, when God asks us to fish, we better be prepared to give up everything. You notice in the story this really interesting fact. These guys have a business of catching fish. They just have had their most successful day of business in their lives, right? And what do? They pack it up and they walk away. They leave it because there is something greater than their fishing business. There is something greater than all this stuff that they've worked for in their life, and that's following the call of Christ. That's what Christ has for them. The calling on their lives and where Christ wants to take them is far more impactful, far more important when they come face to face with this than their little fishing business. So they walk away from the whole thing. Do you believe that there's nothing greater in your life than following the call of God in your own life? Do you believe that? We as the church are the body of Christ. And so when I look at this story, what we need to do is actually go, wow, it's incredible what God does through Jesus in this story, this incredible miracle. But remember, we're the body of Christ now as the church. And so when we read a story like this, everything we see God do through Jesus, every miraculous thing we see him do through Jesus physically, he will do now and can do now through his church, because we now are the body of Christ, attached to Christ. And so we have been given all of the power that God gave to Christ when he was here on the earth doing these miracles. We do. Do you believe that God can do anything through his church that he wants to do? Do you? Okay. This is why at Village Church, we do the hard stuff. This is why at Village Church, we say, you know, we're not going to be satisfied with our little fishing business. That doesn't mean anything. We want to do something greater. We want to do the greater thing, which is following Christ wherever he leads us, wherever he takes us. So this is the framework for today, for this Church Planting Vision Sunday. This whole thing is going to take a ton of faith. It's going to take a ton of obedience. And that's our call. Our call isn't the results. The results are up to him, remember. This is his work. This is his power. This is what he wants to do in his will. It means our call is faith and obedience. That's what's on our plates right now that we need to step into is faith and obedience. But doing this is not going to be easy. Planting churches in a country like Canada is expensive. It's difficult. There are a lot of roadblocks to this. But we need to step out in faith and obedience. I believe there's not a bad time for this, just God's time. I believe there's no limit to what he can do. And I believe our call is to follow him into it. And we've been building into this over the last few years, building this idea of what if we planted churches all across the country and beyond. And now that vision comes together in 2022, right now, where it all starts to hit an apex. So that's what we're going to talk about for the rest of this service. So yes, we increased our budget significantly this year to be able to do all of these things that everything was coming together for. But by God's grace, actually, a miracle has been happening because we are tracking and giving ahead of even what we did last year. Even with everything going on, somehow we are ahead of last year, which is an amazing blessing, an amazing grace. But this vision, everything that we were planning, everything coming together is an increase even beyond that. And so what I want to do before I explain to you what that all looks like and how we can partner together in doing this is I want to show you what God is doing and I want to let you see it for yourself. So we're going to start by looking at the vision for church planting across this amazing country of ours, Canada. All right, I am joined on stage by Executive Pastor Gord Fleming, who is in charge of all of our church planting at Village Church.
Morning, Village Church.
So great for you to be here. Give us a quick little synopsis of who you are, your background in church planting, because people probably don't even know. You have extensive church planting experience, specifically in the country of Canada? You've seen a lot of stuff.
Yeah, for the last 17 years, I've been giving full-time energy to church planting and the multiplication movement across Canada. Before coming to Village Church, I created and led a national church planting network called C2C, and our passion was to plant churches across the nation of Canada, 9 full-time staff scattered across the country, 120 church plants representing 31 denominations. Just so cool to see the body of Christ working together for the nation of Canada. Village Church was on my leadership team for a decade. About 5 years ago, Mark Clark asked if I would join Village team. I asked again 4 years ago, 3 years ago. I finally buckled because Mark really impressed upon me the vision of the local church reaching this nation. And you've probably heard it say, the local church is the hope of the world. At Village, we would say, Jesus is the hope of the world, but he works through his body, through the local church, to accomplish his purposes.
Yeah, I'm not sure there's anyone, I don't have research data for this, that knows church planting in Canada better than Gord. He has the most experience probably of anyone I could think of. And so I want you to tell us why. Why do we need to plant churches in the country of Canada?
Yeah. Well, I think all of us in this room know the lostness of this nation. It's really hard to compare ourselves with other countries, and yet sometimes that's what Canada does. Eh? We can compare ourselves with the U.S. church or other places and what Christianity looks like. But in these last 20 years, the amount of people who would call themselves followers of Jesus in Canada has shrunk to a tiny fraction. And so our passion as Village Church is to plant churches across Canada in the hopes that more Canadians will hear the gospel and respond to the gospel and become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Church planting is the most significant way that we can accomplish that goal.
Yeah, and what have you seen, both in your time with C2C, but also just at Village Church, around giving you hope that that's true, that actually this is what Canada needs, that this can work. We do need these churches, and God will do something through it.
Yeah. Yeah, as we look to the U.S., like there's less people live in Canada than live in California, and yet we're the second largest country in the world, second largest landmass. And so I really believe it takes Canadians to speak to Canadians. I was talking with a pastor of a big Canadian church last week, and he was saying, Gord, Village Church is poised to be probably the most significant church in Canada that we, the other churches, that can look to. You can lead a church planting movement. You're the only church that's a national church, national staff, a national vision, multi-model, and we're just cheering you on because we want to see more churches planted. So for years upon years, we've been doing surveys and collecting data. It's undisputed. So many denominations have done surveys on the effectiveness of church planting. And the stats are like 60 to 80% of people who join a new church don't come from another church. They're unchurched people, 60 to 80%. And when you do the data of established churches, like 15 years old and older, 80 to 90% of people go to those churches from other congregations. So, you know, you hear about people moving from church to church. That happens a lot in the established church, but in church planting, the majority of people that join a church plant are people who actually don't know Jesus and are invited from friends. It's more like a mission movement than the kind of everyday Sunday.
Yeah, it's interesting when people say, you know, oh, why do we need more churches? We've got lots of churches. Just let's support churches that are, I think people fundamentally understand or misunderstand how the situation actually looks in Canada. It's like being on a boat. It's like being on the Titanic and having like a couple buckets and being like, it's fine. We've got buckets. Like, why do we need more buckets? That's the situation of our country,
totally,
right? Like, we're so far gone on this. That we just need more expressions and more opportunities and ways for people to connect. So give us, in a nutshell, what is the Village Church plan for all of this?
Yeah. Well, you're going to hear in a few minutes from some of our new church planting team members. Our church that we launched this fall in the GTA West, is just thriving, and we're so excited to see life transformation happen through that new site. This fall, we're going to be launching our Winnipeg church, and I want to be careful with that because we do have a church in Winnipeg, and that congregation would say, I'm part of Village Church, and we're doing ministry, and we're doing outreach, and we're gathering in community. We just don't meet every Sunday, and they're going to begin that this fall. And then our third new site this year is GTA East, which is a completely different city in the greater Toronto area, and we're going to plant our second location in Toronto this fall. And by the way, these plants aren't just like this spring we thought, hey, let's plant three churches. Kevin's been on the payroll for 2 years introducing people to Jesus, doing community, building a core group, establishing community in Winnipeg for the sake of kingdom advancement. So when we think of our 2023 church plants, we're well underway to those. You're going to hear from Michael Chinchilla in a little bit. Michael and Alicia have moved to Vancouver. We're planting a church in spring 2023, by God's grace, a live site location in the commercial area of East Vancouver. Also, you think about Toronto, a huge city right in the kind of the center of the GTA called Richmond Hill. We're praying that we can plant that church in 2023, our third location. So we would have the east of Toronto, the west of Toronto, more of a central location, three churches in the Toronto area. A lot of our kind of a cinema model, it's really hard to find. You think, well, just go lease a Cineplex. What's the big deal? It's really hard to secure those. So the Richmond Hill Cineplex actually became available about 4 months ago. And so we secured that. We pay a monthly retaining fee so that we know we have our location ready for Richmond Hill. In Vancouver, the South Vancouver, there's a great complex on Cambie and Marine Drive Gateway. There's a fantastic Cineplex right at the SkyTrain station. It's like, oh, this would be so great for our Richmond community, for Vancouver on the SkyTrain. So we've just been praying into that location. It became available, so we secured that lease as well. We pay a monthly retaining fee to hold that lease. And Thursday last week, I interviewed a church planter who's just really passionate about that area of Vancouver. Him and his wife want to plant a church there. And it's like, would Village Church consider me as the lead pastor for that location? It's like, God, how did he know that we've already secured that location? The Lord just goes before us and sets this up. So by God's grace in 2023, we'll launch our Vancouver East. We'll launch our third site in Toronto, Richmond Hill, and our Marine Drive Gateway site. And of course, we're working on our 2024 locations because we're going to go for four sites in 2024, four sites in 2025, four sites in 2026. The five-year plan, 25 village churches impacting the nation of Canada.
Is that large enough? Is that a big enough vision, do you think? A practical question for you. And by the way, thank you for the work you and your team do on this, because just want everyone to understand, we really kind of like invested into this strategically a couple years ago. Just like, this is the time, it's time to really accelerate this. And then of course, a global pandemic happened. But you guys have been adjusting, getting creative, getting innovative, and not slowing down through all of that, which is amazing. And that's a testament to who we are, I think, and our ethos as a church. We were like, so what? There's COVID. We can't meet. We can't do these things. It doesn't matter. It might be the worst time ever to plant churches. We don't care.
We're just going
to push on and do it. And so now we're kind of coming out of that, and that's why this is all really exciting right now and hitting. So just really quickly, before we move on, because people might wonder this, how much does it cost to add, like, one of these things you're talking about, we're going to do all these things. Okay, so one of these things, like, what's the first year to just get one of these going? Like, what are we talking about here?
$300,000 plus.
Right.
And we have to think of the year before the getting it going, the equipment, the leases, the payroll, the staffing, the ministry we want to do. And remember, brothers and sisters, we're going after people who don't know Jesus. And probably the first thing they're not going to do is give to the local church. It's not the first thing that's on people's minds. So we really rely on Village Church together to really fund these new initiatives.
Amazing. Okay, so let's take a look at some of these cities in a little more detail. We've got a bunch of guests this morning. So we're going to start by taking a closer look at what God is doing in the GTA, that is, what Village Church is up to in the city of Toronto.
Hey, Jeremy, Ward, Village.
Hey. Well, you just welcomed him, but let's welcome him again. It's Fanu to the stage, Pastor Fanu. You know him from the preaching team, of course. You see him all the time. He also, though, apart from doing amazing preaching here at Village Church, coordinates all of our planting efforts in the greater Toronto area, in the GTA. And so he's a busy guy, and he's got a lot on his plate, and he's doing an amazing job with that. So just give us, Fanu, what is the latest lay of the land? What's going on out there?
Yeah, it's been amazing. Church, obviously, we started the whole process during the pandemic, and you know, what I love about what Jesus does, and Jeremy, you alluded to this in your devotional, is like, there isn't any time that's perfect to do church planting, but whatever time you pick, Jesus can make his work happen in that time. And one of the things that was amazing during the pandemic is people connected with us from right across the greater Toronto area, like from Burlington all the way to Oshawa. And so what's happened now, since things have eased up with the pandemic, we're able to gather together now. We've got people on the west of the GTA and the east of the GTA that are committed to Village Church. And we just were able to launch our very first site, GTA West, in Oakville, just a few weeks ago now. And it's amazing to see what Jesus is already doing. In fact, we just had our very first baptism service for the site since we launched. And Jeremy, you were there with us for it. And it's amazing to see how God's already transforming people's lives.
Yeah, it was... go ahead. It was incredible to go out and see all of it live, and to see people being baptized, be standing up there before they go in the water, listening to their stories, their testimonies of life change, and maybe you can tell us one or two of those real quick, and then to pray over them, and then watch them actually be baptized. Like, you know, many of us have seen thousands of people get baptized over the years here at Village Church. And just to see, you know, from the days of doing it out of the White Rock Pier or something, and being there and watching people getting baptized, and then being in Toronto and watching in the lake people getting baptized, it was just like, what is God doing here? Like, this is crazy that this is actually all happening. So give us a little bit of that story of impact. I want to hear a little bit about some of those lives that people are already seeing changed in the Toronto area.
Yeah, and you know what's really amazing about this, and we talked about the Cineplex model a couple of minutes ago, but what's really cool is Jesus isn't limited to one specific model, right? So we were doing pre-launch gatherings before we were able to officially launch the site because of the pandemic, and the baptism services actually started in people's backyards. We were driving to different parts of the greater Toronto area, and we were asking people, do you have like a swimming pool or a hot tub in your backyard? And we were baptizing people who were coming to Jesus through our online services in the greater Toronto area last year, in some of them not even part of our church. They go to another church. It's like, you have people to get baptized? I'll open my backyard. We'll open our pool. Why don't you bring the people here? And so that's where it started. And so a couple of stories I'll share, and I've sort of switched out names here just for privacy reasons. One man I was talking to the other day, he got baptized a couple of weeks ago. I'll call him Joe. Joe started attending our pre-launch gatherings at a older United Church called Trinity United. Guys, it wasn't even a great location. We were using like what they call their fellowship hall, and our staff would have to go in earlier, sort of mop the floors, clean the place up, you know what I mean? Because it wasn't set up, right, for church. And we had like a 65-inch screen, which in your living room looks great, but in a larger auditorium, it's a tiny little thing, right? And so we're running service on the screen, and Joe comes in, and he had walked away from Jesus like when he was 16, and you know, living his life, he's in finance, doing really well for himself, hanging out, he was telling me, with a bunch of guys that are all doing well financially, but he said, on the inside, we're all miserable, we're empty, we don't know what to do with our lives, what the purpose and meaning of our life is. And he shows up, and he's in this pre-launch gathering, and I'll never forget, it was when Pastor Michael was preaching, it was a sermon on the gospel, we did a series on the gospel, gospel community culture, and Pastor Michael was preaching, and I remember Joe just sitting there, service is done, everyone's getting up and sort of chatting and stuff, and he's just sitting there, and one of our pastors just goes up to him and has a conversation, and I asked him about that, and he says, Fanu, it was like the pastor was speaking right to me. And he says, in fact, this is what's happened. He says, every time I went to a pre-launch gathering, it was like Jesus was speaking to my heart. And he says, something changed inside of me. And he says, I knew I needed to give my life to Jesus. And he just told me on the phone the other day, guys, that he says, now I'm finding every opportunity I can to bring the crew that I used to hang out with. I want them to experience Jesus as well. And that's why he just got baptized. He says, I'm all in.
That's so good.
And this is what Jesus is doing in the greater Toronto area, guys. Listen, 6.2 million people. In a couple of decades, it's going to be 10.2 million, the province is projecting. And so you think about all the people coming into our country. Most of those people come to the greater Toronto area. And that brings me to Mandy. Okay, Mandy grew up in a Hindu home. She sort of sensed the call of Jesus for a long time, like this something inside of her is like, this is the truth. Some friends had shared with her about Jesus. And she said to me the other day, she says, when I came to Village for the first time and I connected with the pastor, by the way, we have incredible staff at our Toronto locations.
How many staff do we have in Toronto?
We have four staff, actually five. So we have lead pastor, Pastor Sam Aragones, Family Ministries Pastor, Pastor Lihia Andrade. We have Kristen Stokes, who's our ministry associate, and Marcus Baskey, who is our service and technical producer. And on GTA East, we already have a staff member, Blair Malfera, who is our ministry associate. So incredible staff. And she says the pastor connected with her, began to disciple her, talk to her about Jesus. And she stood there in front of, I think, with 140 people or so at the baptism service. And she says, I am ready to give my life completely to Jesus. And her family actually has blessed it, because they're like, if this is really what you sense you need to do, go ahead and follow Jesus. And these are people that don't believe in Jesus.
Oh, so
this is
good.
Amazing. This is amazing. I mean, Fanu's pretty excited about this, I think, right? I think we have the right guy in the GTA, I'm sensing. Okay, just finish up here by telling us, when you think about the area, and you spoke to this a little bit about the growth of it and everything, what's the dream that God's put on your heart for the GTA?
Guys, again, it is 6.2 million people. The population of the province of British Columbia is 5 million people, just to give you some context. There are so many hundreds of thousands of people in the greater Toronto area that are looking for an opportunity to find meaning and purpose, and why am I here on earth? What am I doing here? You know, they come to Canada, a lot of new immigrants come to Canada looking for a greater opportunity, but when they find it, they're still empty on the inside. I envision four or five sites in the largest city in our nation. And you know what's amazing about this church? It isn't like, you know, we're like, how is this going to happen? Where are the people? I was just telling Pastor Gord earlier, we have so many people already committed to our second location. We don't even have a lead pastor. We're trying to hire, we're working on hiring a lead pastor for the second site. But we have so many families already committed, because you see, people across Canada sense that something is happening in this nation, and they want to be part not just of a church, they want to be part of a movement that is trying to see the nation of Canada transformed by the power of the message of Jesus.
Yeah.
And all we're doing is we're gathering people from across Canada who are already passionate and say, that's what you want to do? You want to see people become fully transformed and followers of Jesus? I want to be a part of that mission, and I envision all across our great city people coming together, joining with us to see that vision come to pass.
Amazing. And the investments we've made as a church in the GTA are really front-loaded. Like, this is a big front-loaded investment we've made. But listen to this. God's already using that to do amazing things, and more to come. So
can I just say one more thing, Pastor Jeremy? I think this is really important.
It's church, not like you get enough time
I just got to say this, guys. I am so proud to be part of Village Church.
Amen.
I went through the most difficult time of my life in ministry during the pandemic. And what I loved about those moments was that I always sensed, and I knew for a fact, that there was a church across Canada that believed in what God was doing in the greater Toronto area and was standing with us to see the mission of our church fulfilled in our city. So there's so much for us to rejoice and be excited about, because we're not alone. This is my message. I am not alone. Our team in Toronto is not alone. Our team in Winnipeg is not alone.
Right.
In Calgary, you're not alone. We are one church. We are one movement reaching one nation with the message of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thanks, buddy.
Amazing.
So good.
And we're glad to have you. Now, We are going to transition to another city here. Thank you. Went a little over there. That's okay. That was good. So let's give it up for Fanu and his team out there in the GTA.
Thank you, Fanu.
And we're going to now move from the east. We're going to start moving west. So we're going to hit the city of Winnipeg. All right, here he is. This is Pastor Kevin Schuler from Winnipeg. Let's give it up for Pastor Kevin.
Kevin.
Now, I recently was able to go out to Winnipeg and meet with you and see some of the teams, see what's going on there. It's fantastic what's happening in Winnipeg right now. So why don't you just give us a quick update? What's happening? What's the latest in City of Winnipeg with Village Church stuff?
Well, first of all, you know, being the first time on the stage with these pastors from Winnipeg, the church family, from my family, my wife, Jill, my son, Malachi, and we just say a big hello, and we're just so happy to be a part of Village Church.
We're happy to have you.
That's
been a blessing.
Yeah.
And I just have to interject here, because being on the ground there, it was story after story of people connecting with this guy, going, hey, Village Church is amazing because you guys care about me so much. And I was like, sure, yes, we do. Kevin, you must be caring for people a lot, because that's everyone's impression out there. So good job.
Yeah.
What's going on?
It's been great people that have been coming. So Jill and I and my family, we started 2 years ago with Village Church. And yeah, what's been said, we started connecting. And by the ministry that was coming out of here, Surrey, our central site, people were connecting with Village Church over online, YouTube. And we started looking at, hey, there's other people that are watching, that are following with Village Church. And so I started connecting with them. We started community groups right into it. And that was an amazing part to see people connect through the pandemic. So, you know, through 2020, we thought, hey, this will be a great year at the start of the year. But we all know what happened, you know, the past 2 years. But literally, in April, when Manitoba let us meet more than 25 people indoor. So then, right from there, from Easter, we've been doing pre-launch gatherings on Sundays. Community groups are going. And now excited to look into the fall, that we can meet every Sunday with kids ministry, part of that. Like, we're really excited about what's happening. And we just hired a new position for our site. So really excited about that.
Great. So what is some of the impact you're already seeing there? I mean, it's early days, but you're already seeing impact of this work there.
Yeah, and when I think about impact of in a church, it's how can the gospel be infused into conversations, into everyday life? And so that's a challenge from our church that we've heard time and time again. But as a church in Winnipeg, where's the gospel being a part of our life in everyday life? So I think of Lila and Quinn. They started with our church about a year ago. And reaching out, and they saw, this is a very Winnipeg story, so, you know, I don't want to lose you, but here's in the winter, in April,
It's always winter there, right?
Yeah, that's right, that's right. They see their neighbor, she is chipping ice out of her driveway in March, I think it was March. It's 5 inches of ice, you know, hey, how can I help, right? Because you see your neighbor. And so from there, there's a conversation. From there, there's a friendship that starts. They're neighbors. I mean, now there's connection. Lyle and Quinn start connecting with Village Church. We start meeting and talking about things. They're serving already and connecting with people. And it's just great how even Alpha. So Lila heard about Alpha and how we do and how we train leaders. So she says, okay, how can I do this a part of my everyday life? What do I think about? So thinking about gospel conversations, she's like, I'd love to do this with Mary. They start doing it together as neighbors. They start talking about Jesus. They start talking about faith. And then, you know, it's just amazing when crisis hits, a basement gets flooded. Mary's basement gets flooded. Lila has her community group come with her. We start helping out with, you know, helping rid stuff of the house. So it's just crisis in these moments that the gospel says, hey, here's a caring community. Here's one that because of what Jesus has done, we want to be here to help and serve. And now, so fast forward, Mary and Lila are hosting community groups in their homes. They just love it. They're growing. That group is amazing. Big shout out to Brenda as the community group leader. But what a great story about impact and how the gospel changes.
Can I jump in? Yeah. Kevin, it's so great. You're such a passionate
pastor and leader and building of community. I think I first met you at our C2C Assessment Center when you and Joe went through assessment.
That's
and we just discerned together with the Holy Spirit that indeed you were a pastor and a church planter and qualified to plant a church. Then you connected with Village, and I went through the interview process with you, and you talked about your passion for multiplication. You told me, I don't want to just plant a church in Winnipeg. I want to see my province reached for Jesus. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Jill and I, our heart is for Manitoba. We can reach Manitoba with the gospel of Jesus. As many conversations can happen, let's do it. So for our church starting now in Winnipeg, in 3 years, we'd love to be looking at a second site. And in 5 years, we want to be looking at the third site, somewhere in Manitoba, whether it's Winnipeg or Brandon, Steinbach, whoever. And by in 10 years, we hope to be having three sites that are serving 800 to 1,000 people. But in light of those numbers, it's a drop in the bucket of how Manitoba is growing. You heard Fanu talking about how it's Canada's growing. We need more church planters, a part of this movement that's happening. So whether it's Village Church or another, we just need to reach Manitoba and the prairies. And so I would love for Village Church to be a part of encouraging, supporting local church planting networks that reach our provinces.
That's great. And we're so glad you are the guy in Winnipeg. When I went out, I had heard two things about Winnipeg, that they have, you know, they have two seasons, snow and bugs. And then I went out and there was neither, actually. And they were like,
That's right.
You picked the right week. But what I walked away thinking was, I'm really excited about what's happening in the city of Winnipeg. I was meeting people that are connecting with Kevin and the team there. And I was like, this is really going. This is something we need to keep pushing and moving forward, because stuff is happening in the city. And you know, you just shared some of it because we have limited time, but I was super excited. So I hope we all catch that vision. Kevin, thank you for being here.
Kevin. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you for being our guy in Winnipeg. Let's give Kevin a round of applause. And we're going to move on one more city west to the city of Vancouver. Welcome.
Hello.
Of course, you know Pastor Michael. He's part of our preaching team. You've probably seen him up here many times before. Michael actually was pastoring in the city of Calgary, at our Calgary location, for a few years, and then has just moved back to Vancouver because he is going to plant our first Village Church location in the city of Vancouver proper, right?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
So what's the latest? What's going on with, you know, it's early days, but where's it all at?
Yeah, we are just the very beginning stages of planting a church in Vancouver. My wife and I are more excited than you could possibly imagine. And we have moved into the city. And with all of the, you can imagine, we know Vancouver, we love to talk about housing. So we've already kind of gone through that route and just like suffering for the gospel of trying to pay rent. And so there we are. And to be honest, it's so deep to us in our heart. It really kind of stirred a lot from our time in Calgary. It was just this birth of like, we need to see the city rejuvenated. And for what we felt was, man, us as a couple, me and my wife, our personal calling, our church's mission, and the city's greatest need all matched up in this church happening here in Vancouver. So,
and what is some of the impact that you're already sensing, that you're already praying for? What are you seeing happening even in these early stages?
Yeah, it's incredible, to be honest. So many people that I talk to often are talking about, man, they drove 40, 50 minutes to just drive to this location from Vancouver because they are so desperate for a church that just sees the world in the way that they see it, that the gospel is needed explicitly, just so clearly. And so they're driving all the way to get here just because they see this and they long for this in their own communities. And so those are the people that have shown up. People who have had their lives changed through Village Church, people who long to see their families, colleagues, and friends see Village and see what we're doing and how we're just showing Jesus as bright as we possibly can to the world. And they're seeing that they're being impacted. I've had so many conversations with people at dinner, coffee, all of these different things. And they're just saying to me, I've prayed for this forever. And so to see the prayers of all of these individuals in Vancouver come to fruition is just an amazing thing to just see people transform for the gospel.
So good, Michael. I think one of the cool things about Village Church, you may not know this, when Michael moved into the city, kind of his first priority was to meet with local churches around Vancouver. And so Michael went to their services, met with the pastor, go out for coffee, and just a beautiful, humble, how can we partner together to reach the city? What can I learn from you? What do I need to be careful of? Is it okay with you, a Village Church partner, to see? It's just a beautiful, nobody told you to do that. This is your own heart. So tell me a little bit about the church together reaching the city.
It's the only way that's going to happen. For us, when we look at Jesus' own words, Acts 1, when he says, hey, listen, you are going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. I love the fact that the smallest unit of measurement that Jesus says that we will be witnesses to is to a city. And not one church is going to reach the city. We all need to be able to do that. Vancouver, in and of itself, is the most densely populated location in all of Canada. There are 18,000 people per square kilometer in downtown Vancouver, which means that just to reach 10% of people in downtown, you would need a church of 1,800 people per square kilometer. That's not happening at the current moment. Just to reach 10% of the population that lives there, which means we need more churches. The higher density of people means the higher density of churches, people that are faithful and courageous to what Jesus is calling us to. And as I'm talking to all of these pastors, that's constantly what they're saying. There is no competition. There is no fear. They're saying, we need you. We want you. Please bring more. And as we see this happen, it is just a tremendous thing for us to be able to see Jesus' own words and what we're trying to accomplish and say, we are going to go ahead and do this. I love when Jesus says that we as disciples of him are going to be salt and light. Light, the invading agent going into the darkness, the active participant to spill out all of the darkness. And then salt, this preservative that is able to sustain things that left on their own will rot and decay. And so when a piece of meat is going to rot and decay, you don't ask what's the problem with this meat? You ask, where is the salt? And when we see our cities longing for spirituality, there are people longing for spirituality in Vancouver, and they run to crystals or they run to hallucinogenics, and they are longing, a desperate void in their soul to say, we need the gospel. And that's what we are trying to do as churches, not just us solely to come in and take over, for us to partner and talk and communicate and be with other churches in Vancouver to reach those people, because they need to know the great love and goodness of our God.
Wow. Is that a good vision for the city of Vancouver, do you think? Wow. And, you know, before you go, I want to just publicly acknowledge you and your wife, because these guys have been following the call of Jesus in their life and ministry in amazing ways through Village Church, being heavily invested in youth ministry, student ministry stuff with, you know, everything that they are, and then being called by God through what Village asked them to do as a couple, to go to the city of Calgary, move everything. We were like, go there and we'll see how that all goes. They move, pandemic hits, and we go, you're gonna be there for a while. So they were there 2 years, serving faithfully, not serving with an eye to coming back, but serving faithfully the people of Village Church Calgary. And those are the stories we kept hearing, right? They love Pastor Michael and Alicia. And now saying, hey, God's calling you now to come back. And I know that was bittersweet even because of all the connections and relationships there. And now you come back and it's like, hey, here's a new thing. Now you're going to be our first Vancouver site planter. And they're just in, like both feet jumping in. Yep, wherever God is saying we need to go through Village Church, we are there. We're dedicated to this mission. I think we need to be appreciative and thankful for Pastor Michael and his wife for their dedication to what we do as a church.
Thanks, guys.
So thanks, Michael. So, Gord, any last words here on our amazing country of Canada?
Yeah, it's the two big things that we're praying for is a prayer movement to undergird this, that the work of the Holy Spirit would just draw people to himself, and the financial support, the crazy cost. Like, we are stepping out in such faith. We're buying things without the money in the bank, trusting that Jesus is on his throne, and he will supply everything we need for church planting.
Thank you for all of your work. This is super exciting stuff. Let's give Gord a round of applause and for his team. But of course, it wouldn't be Village Church if we said, okay, that's lots and that's enough, right? I mean, that's quite a bit. You're probably thinking, this is very ambitious. I'm not sure. But that's not enough. If you've been around our church, if you've seen what we do with golf tournaments and different things, we don't like to, you know, stop here. We want to do something even more extraordinary than that. And we have certain opportunities that have presented themselves to us to have a church planting impact beyond our borders into other regions of the world. One in particular that is incredibly exciting. And so we're going to introduce that right now. And I'm going to call Caitlin Weinberg, who's our Director of Global and City Impact, up on the stage right now. Let's give her a round of applause. And she's going to tell us about the global opportunity we have. The video just gave it away. Where are we going?
What? Cuba.
Cuba. Now, there is an incredible opportunity. Caitlin and I and a team were able to go and visit Cuba recently and see what's going on there. Caitlin, tell us all about it, because this is, like, I am incredibly excited about this project and this work.
I'm super excited, too, because this isn't typically a place that you hear about this kind of work happening in. But as we know, God moves in the midst of oppression, and Village Church has always prioritized being in the hard places, and this is it. What's really special about this partnership is that we were connected to a couple in our church that has been equipping Cuban church planters and utilizing media and microfinance to help people meet Jesus and to see communities transformed. And shortly, we're going to watch a video that'll explain in more detail this work. But as Pastor Jeremy said, we had the opportunity to go down, see firsthand the work. We took a few of our team members, were able to provide some media and marketing training. And let me tell you, their work is gospel-centered. They have a proven results for multiplication, and something I'm really passionate about is they're meeting tangible needs of the community. Communities are being transformed spiritually and physically, and something that was really neat was a couple of pastors were even sharing that their church, their building, will be a place of refuge for the community in times of hurricanes because it's one of the sturdiest ones in town. And that's part of what Restoration House Ministries is partnering with, and we are super excited. And so let's watch that video. You're going to get a glimpse into why we're so excited about partnering in this work.
Let's watch.
Every day, my wife asks me what I will cook today. We face every day the challenge of food. Every Cuban has the challenge of health care. And very often when we try to find the medicines, we cannot find even when we have the money to buy the medicines. Many young people go into the university and after that they cannot find a good job.
Life in Cuba is very hard. We as North Americans see the beachside scenes and think that's a picture of Cuba. That's not. There's a lack of material things. These things impact their life in such a profound way, which has a multiplier effect, because then, can I do my job? Can I get to work? I'm not feeling well. My kids are sick. They don't have enough food. And they want to do so well, but they lack these material things to make those dreams happen.
I think average Cubans are frustrated, especially if the people don't know Jesus. And that's really sad. That's really sad.
Restoration House Ministries is dedicated to coming alongside Cuban church planting pastor families to help them in their church planting efforts. We also develop agricultural business to help feed their families and the community. And we also have an emergency food distribution network. We are working in the four eastern provinces, and so that represents probably about 4 million people. In regards to church planting, right from the planning stages of a new church where we are taking pastors and providing living wages to them for a year of training on church planting, going into the community, praying with the community, knocking on doors, evangelizing, and then investing in infrastructure of the church so that that community can sustain itself for the next 20, 30, 40 years as a Christian church.
Experimentamos un huracán, el huracán Matthew, y destruyó de manera completa el otro templo que teníamos. A través de este ministerio recibimos ayuda para la reconstrucción de él y nos ayudaron a completar el dinero para la compra de otra casa, de una casa para otra nueva iglesia que fundamos.
El ministerio RHM llegó a un momento importantísimo donde la iglesia tenía muchos proyectos de crecimiento, cada la congregación, pero no teníamos dónde reunirnos ya y han sido de una importancia vital para nosotros, gracias al Señor y al ministerio RHM.
We are investing in bean fields and coffee fields and malanga fields, piggeries. And so all of these things are helping the communities to not only provide for themselves these nutritious foods, but it gives them an opportunity to sell and to trade and to barter for other things that are necessary. We would really, really like to develop this because it's a model that is working so well.
Y mirando la situación en que nosotros vivimos en estos lugares, lo vimos como una bendición, como algo de mucha importancia para la gente de estos lugares. Y eso le ha dado cobertura para poder hacerlo.
It's our dream over the next 20 years to keep on developing this network of church planting pastors to multiply the Christian network in Cuba and to meet the need really of the Cuban people who have such a deep hunger and thirst for the Word of God and what that means to them in their lives in Cuba.
Nosotros como iglesia en Cuba tenemos que crecer. Hay muchas personas perdidas. Sueño que haya una iglesia en cada comunidad, en cada barrio.
I really believe that the transformation of the Cuban nation rests on the Christian church. And I've seen it with my own eyes, whole neighborhoods that have transformed, neighborhoods that were once crime-ridden and are now transformed into these Christian communities, hardened criminals coming to Christ. And not only hardened criminals coming to Christ, but meeting Christ and giving everything up, going to seminary, and becoming church planters. It's transforming people's lives.
I'm dreaming for the church in Cuba is to plant more and more and more churches in every community, in order that the people know the truth. The gospel of God is good news and light for the lost people in our country.
It's incredible, incredible work and incredible opportunity. I mean, like you said, to transform a country. And it's actually possible. So I want you to welcome with me two amazingly special guests. We have Mark Bodie and Pastor Arcadis, who you saw in the video here joining us on stage today. Let's give them a really warm welcome for being here.
Thank you, Pastor.
Man, it is nice to see you guys again. In case you don't know, Mark actually is part of Village Church. He attended Village Church for years, his wife Barb and family, and just got this call on his life to do this. We'll talk about more of that in a minute. But just so you understand the context here, these are like random strangers. This is our own. Like, this is us doing this, stepping out in faith and doing this amazing work. So, but first, let's talk about what you're seeing in Cuba. I mean, what is the situation? What is the need? What are you seeing in terms of the opportunity for planting churches in the country of Cuba through the work you're doing?
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Village Church, for giving me the opportunity to share with you about Cuba. So alongside the island, there are a lot of people, thousands of people in need, but at the same time, God is opening a lot of doors in order that we can reach out the people and we can share with them the good news about Jesus Christ, and they come to salvation and change their life.
Yeah, I know there's a story that I heard when we were there where someone was so eager to church plant with you that they went and formed their own core launch team or church, I guess you could call it, by literally going out and just converting 60 people in their neighborhood and then coming back to you and saying, okay, I've got a team, can we plant, right?
Yes.
And so now, what's the situation with that group, for example?
Yeah, this is a good story. We are multiplying in many people through a church planting movement that we are developing through the Iceland. And we have, for example, this church planter, his name is Ernesto Durruti, and he began with a small group in his house. And then they began to grow, and right now they have more than 10,000 small groups, less than 2 years, and they are ready to launch a new church.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So this is the hard part maybe for us in Canada to wrap our heads around, and it was for me being there. Like, what we experience here in terms of how difficult it is to get someone to listen to the message of the gospel or to whatever it is, it's a different story right now in Cuba. People are literally just turning in droves to this, and it's a matter of us trying to just keep up, right, with what's going on. You're just trying to find planters and places for them to meet. So tell us a little bit more about that. You're training up church planters, and you have a whole system for that, right? Yeah, Mark, maybe, yeah, why don't you share?
Yes, exactly. Thank you very much, Jeremy and Caitlin, for this wonderful opportunity to present ourselves to Village Church. And so we go through a 3-year process. What we want to do is from soil to steeple, starting from identifying a lay leader or a pastor who will be a church planter, and they start small groups and build on that, and then more small groups and more small groups. So we take them through that process using classic church planting methods or models such as the Four Fields model. We teach that, our caddis and our crew in Cuba travel to the different cities where our families are planting churches. We spend time with them, we train them, and then through this process the groups grow. We finally get to a point where we're 40 or 60 people, we're forming Sunday church. Then we take a look at what can we do to create a facility. We can't rent movie theaters in Cuba, but we do build, and you'd be amazed, actually, we bought a church 2 or 3 years ago. It was an apartment complex, double story, for $2,000. So the economy of scale is very favorable. And we also teach a proprietary method of church planting and planning that Pastor Arcadis, who is a doctoral student, by the way, created, called the Three Pillars, and that includes vision, mission, and strategy. And Arcadis can expand upon that.
Yeah, thank you, Mara. By the way, right now we are 7 campuses in the Iceland, one in Havana, and the rest of all are in Bayamo and Santiago de Cuba, the city where I live. And we are starting 15 more churches. Yes, right now. And we are moving through a vision. Our vision is to establish or to plant a church wherever God gives us the opportunity. Our mission is to make fully devoted of Christ. And our strategy are based on 4 connections. Number one, if you think in a baseball field, first base, connect with God through the service, connect with others through the small groups, and connect with ministry through service, and connect to tell others through local and global impact. So, by the way, sharing about small group, there was a girl who came to Jesus, and she brought her boyfriend, her dad, her mom, her grandma, all of them accepted Jesus, but it is not all the end of the story. She brought 2 friends, they accepted Jesus, all then baptized, and now we have 3 small groups through this family and friends. There are things that's happening in Cuba.
Yeah, and I wish we had more time, but I know you were telling me even about, you know, part of the trip when we went was actually because Mark noticed a lot of similarities between what they were trying to do in Cuba and how Village Church actually does things through technology here. And so part of our trip was we went down with part of our staff team regarding media and video and social media to be able to work with them and help. And you were just sharing with me, you said, you know, since then, even through growing some of your social media stuff, people are coming to Christ through social media now. You know, you're streaming your services in ways because we've been able to partner on some of this stuff. I mean, this is really exciting for us as a church to, I think, have an opportunity to be involved and invested with a group of planters, not just, you know, sending money or funding something, but actually we can have a relationship in Cuba with what's going on because of all of the synergies, and that makes it ultra special for me as a pastor, thinking that we can actually partner together as brothers and sisters in Christ across, you know, countries is amazing. Mark, I just finally want to ask you one more thing, and that is, you know, I shared the story about the fishermen leaving the boats to just follow where God was taking them. I mean, why did you do this? You're a guy in our church, you and your wife, and you're in business, you're doing your life, and then you just go, no, actually, I need to help fund Cuban church plants, and I'm going to start an organization to do, like,
yes.
Come on.
Yeah, Pastor Jeremy, that's true. Someone framed the question, that same question is, what's the matter with you? But nothing. You know, we went on a mission trip 6 years ago, almost 7 years ago, and my wife and I fell in love with the Cuban people. That's the answer. We fell in love, and God gave us a mission, and we couldn't do anything else but follow it. We sold our business. We arranged our lives so that we could be in Cuba, and He has honored that choice. He has been so gracious towards my wife and I under extreme difficult situations. You know this about not necessarily ourselves, but pastors and church planters. This is tough business. And so we were tremendously encouraged by God's direction. Pastor Jeremy, I've told this to Caitlin as well, is really He planted a seed, we followed, and He has honored us. And really, we are just the conduits, the vessel that God is pouring Himself out. And the real heroes are the church planters, the people in Cuba who are faithful to God and building this incredible network of new churches.
Amazing. Well, thank you for the work you're doing specifically planting churches there. I know it's not easy for, you know, the call that you have stepped into, Mark, and with your wife and your family, and Caitlin, and for all the work you do in making all these connections and organizing all of our global work and partnerships. Let's give them a big round of applause and thank them for being here today. So we're just going to wrap up here because you might be thinking, okay, you know, maybe you're an accountant type or something and you're starting to add this up and you're going, this seems like a lot of stuff and this feels like pretty expensive and that this is going to cost us a lot of money. Well, here's the thing. It is. The vision's huge. So, of course, the sacrifice is going to have to be huge. That's just how this works. If we want to be the kind of church that's going to do huge, impactful things for the gospel in our country and around the world in hard places, guess what? The cost is going to match the call. That's just how it works. So when you add all of this up, this church planting stuff we're doing this year costs about $1.8 million to really comfortably be able to do all of the stuff we're talking about, not put the brakes on anything, not slow anything down, move full speed ahead. And that's in addition to, of course, our regular budget. Our regular budget this year is about $9.5 million. And by God's grace, we're tracking great on that $9.5 million budget. But we had all of these dreams, all of these things we were bringing to kind of an apex in 2022, coming into this year around a lot of these projects really hitting right now. And so this needs to be something we say, okay, we're going to give into this over and above how we're currently tracking. Now that we understand what we're doing here as a church this year, now that we understand the kind of work, the impact that God is doing through this work, we need to step up together and over and above give into this in the next 6 months so that we don't have to slow down anything. We don't have to ask hard questions of any of these ministries. Now, I want you to take out your phones because we're gonna put a slide up on the screen. And maybe if you're watching this, you're streaming this or something, you take a screenshot of your screen when this goes up. Because I want you to take a picture of where you can go to be able to get information about all of this. We have a website built for this, and you can go there later to look at more details, remind yourself of what's going on, remind yourself of all this sort of stuff, because here's what I would like you to do. I would like you, and I'm doing this myself with my wife, of course, is to stop, and I want you to let this all kind of hit you. I want you to pray about this. I want you to really ask God, God, what do you have for me? What do you have for our family in how we ensure that everything we just talked about goes forward at full speed? And so practically speaking, this might look like a few different things. Maybe you're sitting here and you're like, you know what? I already know. God just convicted me, and I know that I have to do something, and I'm going to do it right now. And that's fine. I'm not going to stop you from doing that, of course. Then go ahead. And you can do that right through the website that we set up. But maybe, more likely, it's going home, praying about this, talking about this, thinking this through, and perhaps it's setting up an ongoing, regular kind of automated giving, separate from your regular giving. And we've set up a designated fund specific to this work. So you can give specifically into the Church Planting Vision Fund, and it'll go to funding specifically all of the stuff that we've talked about here. So maybe that's how you do this. And you say, I'm going to set up for the rest of the year just an extra automated giving amount that's going to go into this to make sure this stuff keeps going. I'm going to attach that to the designated fund. I mean, maybe you're someone who actually hasn't given at Village Church yet, but you're part of our church. This is a great time to start to do that. Or maybe you're someone in the way your business works is, hey, I'd love to do something. I have to do it at the end of the year. That's great. Just reach out to us. I'd love to be able to understand what that is and what you're thinking so that we can plan well and make sure we're making good decisions financially throughout the rest of the year when it comes to all of this work. And maybe you're sitting here or you're watching this and God has blessed you in a really significant way financially where you look at this presentation and you say, man, I could literally just fund a church in Cuba right now. We're talking like $10,000 to $20,000 funds one of these Cuban church plants. It's insane. Maybe, though, you've been blessed in a way where you can go, God's telling me, post-COVID now, I need to step up, and I can bless maybe our Winnipeg plant. Maybe I can actually cover most of the costs of continuing to propel Winnipeg forward. Maybe that's the unique position that you're in. Then come and talk to us. Talk to me. I'd love to be able to talk through with you what your options are, the work being done at a deeper level, and how we can partner in this kind of thing together. Guys, this is a moment where we've been pointing towards this for years. And I don't think it's a fluke that at this critical juncture, God says, this may look like a questionable time. Because that's how he's going to prove our faith. That's how it's going to prove that we have faith and obedience and that we're trusting him to do this work, right? Is because he's going to go, okay, I'm going to create these circumstances, and now I want to see if you actually want to see this thing through that you've been working on, you've been building towards as a church for years. And so now we got to make the decision. It's time for us as Village Church to pack up the boat, pack up the business boat, and follow Christ into what he has for us in this incredible work that he's doing in Canada and all around the world. So I want to invite out everyone who is on stage, a part of our church planting work, because I want to pray for them, commission them, and I want you to join me in praying for them and commissioning them in following the lead of what God is calling them to do through Village Church. All right, now, come on out, guys. Yeah, you can give them one more round of applause. It's incredible, incredible people. Okay, would you join me in praying for this incredible team of people? God, we are just in awe that you would do this work, that you would save the lost, and that you would call us as a church into partnering with you in that work. What an incredible opportunity. What a blessing it is that you would ask us to participate with you in such a significant way. God, would you bless each one of these people on stage in the work you've specifically called them to do in this city, in the country, in the kind of work that you have called them into and organized for them to step into. God, would you bless those ministries? Would you bless those plants? Would you bless the country of Cuba, God, that your gospel would go out and many Thousands and thousands of people would come to know you forever because of the work done through Restoration House Ministries, Village Church, and the planting going on through Pastor Arcadis. Would we see thousands and thousands, tens of thousands, maybe millions of people come to know you, become devoted followers of you with their entire life in the country of Canada, through all of our major cities, because of the work that you are doing right now through the planters on this stage and others that are yet to come? God, would you give us boldness to step into this? Give us the courage to have faith and obedience in this moment. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.